Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointsTC.
The Hard Shoulder
with the MG Hybrid and Electric range, celebrating 100 years of passion for the road. Recharge your soul.
Well, joining me for recommendations of what to watch on the big screen and small is David O'Callaghan from the Here and Back Again podcast and entertainment journalist Serena Bellissimo. Lovely to see you both again.
Hello.
Okay, we're going to start with you, David. And I thought we had finished with Halloween, but no. By Halloween, I mean horror, being scared, gory movies.
Predator Badlands?
Predator Badlands, anyone?
Okay. First things first, it's a sci-fi movie. It's not a horror movie. And it's not actually a horror, so to speak.
Yes, is it gory? Is there blood?
Well, here's the thing. It is very gory and extremely violent. However, it's alien and synthetic blood, so there's no red blood. It's blue and white.
I'm with Kira.
So it's fine. And they've kind of aged it down because of this. So they got away with the cert. Because it's not human blood. So it's actually a really, this is going to sound ridiculous, it's a really sweet story about a young predator who's the ugly duckling in the pack and has to go prove himself on this mad world that is the craziest, where every plant, everything's trying to kill you on this world. And he meets Elle Fanning's character, who's a synthetic from the Wutani Corporation, who people will know from Alien. It's just their journey together. The kind of this characters brought in, kind of like, I suppose you'd argue, like Grogu from The Mandalorian type cute characters. So they are trying to get a wider audience.
A younger audience.
And it's rock and roll. Like, it's from the opening sequence, it is insane. There's some of the best on-scene deaths. And I know I keep, it sounds like a horror, but it's not. It's a fun action movie. I think it's, after the original Predator, I think it could be the second best Predator I've ever seen. And I loved it so much and I laughed so much and I would highly, highly... The original Predator has maybe...
When you just say you laughed, what exactly are you laughing at?
Elle Fanning's character is kind of this... She's a robot who's basically kind of dealing with this guy, and she's just... her delivery is so funny and she's absolutely amazing. And then he's a kind of a grumpy kind of... But he's a young Predator, even though he looks like a... old Predator, and he's kind of quipping back with lines, and then there's this little creature that's so cute. It's the cutest thing you'll ever see. And I know the original Predator fans might get a bit grumpy and go, what is happening right now? But go in, you can bring your teenagers with you, you will have a blast. You will be shocked how much you will enjoy this movie. I tell you now, I love it.
Well, I did see the director of this movie saying, because he obviously did the previous Predator, that he's trying to add a little heart
to
the franchise.
I actually cared and felt very sad about the Predator. It's unbelievable. Like, it's...
Did you cry?
I didn't cry. Now I'm not completely losing it. Like, but it's a wonderful movie. And I, old school Predator heads, get there, because it's just some fantastic stuff going on. And newbies, they're definitely win over the younger audience, because so it's not a horror. It's a sci-fi action movie that happens to have a lot of gore, but it's blue and white gore, not red.
I wish you could all see Serena's big skeptical head right now. Mm-hmm. I can see your lips are moving, David, but I'm not listening.
If Serena's kids are listening, make her go.
No, like, we'll just wait till, like, in 2 weeks we'll be on Disney Plus.
And we might watch it then. Yeah. I mean, franchises have had a really bad run this year. It has not been kind to them.
Been an absolute,
disaster. Will this break the trend, do you think?
Because the actual Predator, believe it or not, the Predator franchise is just does fine. And it's never, it's more of a cult thing. But I think this will definitely bring in that new audience, while the grumpy heads like me will walk in going, I'm not going to like this because they're messing with it. Oh, the lore is amazing, because you're learning more stuff about Predators that you don't really know. So, and then there's rumours of him, the director has been talking to Arnie, so there's rumours of down the line Arnie may turn up. So I'm all in. Predator's back, baby. Badlands in cinemas now.
Enjoy the wild ride the laugh. I'll tell you, Serena, your next choice. There's no laughs in that, is there?
No, and at least it's something original. And can you... Anemone? No, go on, you say it, David.
Anemone.
So that's the cheeriest you're going to get when talking about this film. This is Daniel Day-Lewis's return to the cinema screen after 8 years of not acting. What's brought him back? His son, Ronan Day-Lewis, has directed this. They co-wrote this film. In its simplest form, basically, Daniel Day-Lewis plays a man who has, for some reason that I can't tell you, has segregated himself away from the world, away from his family. When his son, that's not a spoiler saying that, is it?
No.
Saying, revealing it's his son? Oh, good. When his son, who he has had nothing to do with since birth, gets into a bit of trouble, his brother, his older brother, goes out to try and find him and convince him to come back to help his son. It's about fathers and sons and brothers and the relationships they have. It's 2 hours and 6 minutes. It's a tough watch. Positive. What I will say...
The reviews for this are really bad, Serena.
Yeah, look, what I will say is that Daniel Day-Lewis can't do anything badly. Like, when you see him on screen, if you don't know it's Daniel Day-Lewis, you'd be sitting up there going, who's that?
He's a really good actor.
I recognise that person. Because he just loses himself in the characters. But it is quite dark. The thing that worries me is that it's about a father-son relationship. And you're sitting there going, the father and son wrote this. It is set in the times. You don't necessarily know when it's set. It's not modern day. It's set around the time of the Troubles. I don't think it's early 80s. I think it might be mid-90s. And it's about, you know, the father not being there for the son. Is this a metaphor for when Daniel went off on his Hollywood shoots and stuff? Or am I reading too much into this and it's just a story that the two of them have come up with that is a really tough watch? But having said that, I did find myself getting emotional in places going, I don't know why I am, because I don't necessarily understand what this film is trying to be about.
Okay, it's a kind of strange choice for him, because after he did Phantom Thread, he took this big long break, as you say, because he said that that movie left him with an overwhelming sense of sadness, because we know he's a method actor and he really feels what he is acting. I mean, this hardly...
Oh, how
was
we
uplifting.
Laughed! How we laughed in this one. It was pretty bleak. It's pretty.
Yeah, bleak is the word.
It's a long, like, at 2 hours plus. It's a long 2 hours. My like the acting. Sean Bean is also brilliant. And it's like the acting. You can't fault the acting. It's just you're like, what am I doing here? This is like still going on. And then you know it's a debut director because he does these random shots of like weird things happening, and you're like, that is such a thing for a like. Theatrical new director wants to catch the eye, and you're like, why is that there?
It feels like what you've gone to watch is you've gone to an art gallery and it's just up on screen for you. It's just all these different scenes of art put together for a film, I think.
Okay, so if it was 10 minutes, it would be lovely, but for 2 hours, 6 minutes.
It's a long time. And look, the only reason a lot of people are going to go, why has he come back? If your son asks you to come back and do something, that's probably the only person you're going to come back for.
Okay, let's look to your TV recommendation, David. And I really like the sound of this. Stone Cemetery Road on Apple TV.
Absolutely fantastic. Okay, so if you've got a giant big Slow Horses hole in your life, and we all know that season 5 of Slow Horses was a bit of a wobble. It was the first wobble, you know, we've been all being blah, blah, blah. And then I was like, no, that wasn't great. It was all right. Well, this is based on Mick Herron, who did Slow Horses, his debut novel. And Emma Thompson plays a private detective in Oxford, and Ruth Wilson plays a woman who witnesses this house blowing up and then this child being carried out. And then the child goes missing and then it all kind of kicks off. It's one of those red herrings all over the gaff. It is Emma Thompson is basically playing Jackson Lamb, Gary Oldman's character, but Emma Thompson style. And it is just a joy. It gave me the vibe of watching the first season of Slow Horses,
which
it
is really fresh.
It's
really
fresh. It's so funny. The one liners are brilliant. It's twisting all over the gaff. Every time you think you figure it out, somebody else comes along and somebody else dies. And I absolutely love it.
And I like Ruth Wilson too.
The two of them bouncing off each other is also brilliant. Ruth Wilson is class. It's just a real, like, just remember the good old days of Slow Horses. Poor Slow Horses. Remember when that was brilliant and this is your replacement. The first three episodes are up. It's weekly and I cannot recommend enough. And
there's how many in the series?
There's three books in the series, so there'll be two more series because I think they've already greenlit the second season. But you've got Emma Thompson and Rue Wilson. And there's loads of others there, but they're the focus. And it's wonderful. Oxford, you want to go to Oxford. You know, it looks class. Brilliant series. Get in there. Go.
your next. Yeah. Is this a recommendation?
See, I don't know. If you talk to The Guardian, it's a big fat zero. I've never, like, do The Guardian, are they known for giving out a lot of zero stars, David?
No. They on the show off every now and then and give a zero.
Yeah.
So this is all fair, and all I know about it is there's something to do with the Kardashians.
Yeah. Now, look, this is from
Kim Kardashian.
Yeah, this is from Ryan Murphy, and I love his stuff. And usually, his stuff is very vibrant, very camp, very opulent and OTT, and that's what you're getting with this. This basically stars Kim Kardashian, but everyone's talking about Kim Kardashian, and I think this is the reason why there's a pylon, because had she just been in it, I think it would have been okay. Kim Kardashian should never have been number one on the call sheet when you have people like Glenn Close, Sarah Paulson, Naomi Watts, Niecy Nash. They play a bunch of lawyers who defected to do their own all-female divorce lawyer firm, and they bring in some great guest stars. We've got Judith Light. We've got Elizabeth Berkley from Showgirls. Jessica Simpson even makes an appearance. So it is OTT. A lot of people just say it's so bad, it's so bad. It's not so bad, it's good. What I will say is that I enjoyed the fabulous one-liners that Sarah Paulson gets to say. The fashion is unbelievable. Ryan Murphy did say that he hoped, like, this series is inspirational and aspirational. And I would really hope it's not, because the wealth and what these women aspire to isn't what, it's all materialism and stuff. And
Serena. I hate that.
It's lovely to look at, right? But you don't, that's all it is. I think people have been too harsh because they have just jumped on the Kim Kardashian thing.
But that's because she's on all the promo clips. Yeah. Well, certainly on Instagram is.
And she's the executive producer as well. Her mum is involved as well. What I will say, can Kim Kardashian act? She's not terrible, but...
Wow. High praise.
It felt like I was just watching
Kim Kardashian
being on Keeping Up with the Kardashians. And this is a thing. She really has no on-screen charisma. She doesn't jump off the screen. And I think if you're going to have something like, the reason why a series like this would work is with those A-list actresses that you mentioned, yes, and them all having fun and stuff. It also felt like everyone's doing a different show. Like, Naomi Watts is trying to be a little bit serious and Glenn Close is over the top. You've got Sarah Paulson just being fabulous, and then you've got Kim Kardashian doing Keeping Up with the Kardashians.
It sounds like it had potential.
There was so much potential. And I think where Disney have gone wrong with this, and Hulu, we were saying that Hulu is releasing this in the States, they've only dropped 3 episodes. And I think had they dropped all 10, like every Tuesday a new one will drop, and I think the final one is on the 9th of December or something.
That means you have to invest in something.
The thing is, had they dropped all 10, I think people would have just mindlessly binged this. But I really... I don't know. I could be proven wrong. I don't think people will be going back every Tuesday to watch.
Okay.
And I think it's going to be a series that comes and goes. Rotten Tomatoes, before I came into studio, I think it was on 6% critics. Oof. But audiences gave it 65%. So I think there is a market out there. If this doesn't sound like you, this is definitely not you. Don't
Aussie
even...
Predator.
Less
of a horror
Down Cemetery Row.
Anyway.
Can we talk about something that has an amazing cast? Celebrity Traitors.
Tonight.
Oh my God, cannot wait.
Sweatbox, stress box, everything.
Who do you reckon?
Right. Well, I'm in a major predicament because I've been watching this whole series with my husband. We have loved it, totally hooked.
Yeah, yeah.
We missed last Thursday's and we haven't had a chance to watch it, and we can't watch it tonight. So I am going to have to, in fact, I might not turn up for work tomorrow.
I was going to say.
Because I cannot be exposed to what's going to happen tonight. So can I can't watch the finale.
Can you not watch both tonight?
No, because he's out tonight.
Well, tell him.
Oh, but anyway, look, you just don't need to know the finer details of me and my husband's schedules. But basically, I'm really excited about a finale that I can't watch.
Firm, seemingly. Yeah.
Like, get there.
Do you know what? You want to come round and I'll ditch him.
Yeah.
I was so sceptical about this season, going, oh, really? You know, it's just going to be a whole heap of celebs. They know each other, so it's going to be a bit boring. That's what's made it more interesting, because they know each other.
And watching them knife each other in the back.
Alan Carr, who would have thought?
He is so screwed. Like,
he's gotten tonight.
When he tried to tell them he was a faithful last week, and it was the worst reveal. Oh, you haven't seen?
No, you've just told me. Oh, well, but anyhow, I don't know what the result was.
You know who's in the finals, don't you?
Well, I do, because I read my notes earlier. because well, I'm really trying to avoid this on an edge here,
and because it's obviously leaning towards Joe and Nick because they think they've cracked it. But I think Kat is going to win it. I think
she's going to flip it.
I think
from
they're going to get Alan because it's too obvious. And then, but David is an absolute nightmare. He's super intelligent, and he's just. He's overthinking things. I think Nick may actually turn on Joe. There's no way the producers are letting it play out normally. They're going to do something that'll just completely...
Is it just a 60-minute episode tonight?
I think it's 70 minutes tonight. Okay. And then also, even if Alan gets voted out, he doesn't reveal if he's a traitor. So there's no. So that's why. I think Kat completely can... Yeah, there's going to be... People are going to be overthinking things and go, what if Joe is really just playing us? And they just turn on each other.
And you know what? If they do leave Ellen in, then they deserve to lose. Because after last week's performance...
Wait, it's the most unbelievable thing. Like, it's like, oh my God.
And he was doing so well for so long, Alan. There was a time I thought Alan's going to make it here to the end. But he just couldn't maintain it. Okay. You see, if you had to pick a winner... Right, Alan for entertainment.
Oh, we got it.
Without a shadow of doubt, he's a complete star of the entire series. Kat has been a brilliant, clever
ninja
traitor. And I've loved Nick, actually. I think Nick has been a really clever faithful in that he has tried to come at it with a certain strategy and play a game.
And Joe is unbelievable.
And Joe's been really good. And David's annoyed me.
No, I ain't going to like Joe. And by the end of it, I'm like, oh, Joe. I love Joe.
No, I'm with Kira on the whole Nick thing. I think Nick has been the one that's almost like, he's almost like the puppy dog of the group. And you just, I'd love to see him or Kat. I know they both can't win, but I'd love to see him
Well, they
Kat
can both
win.
Get to the final, then Kat will just take his legs from him. But my thing with Nick is, and this is why I think Nick could overthink things. Like, Nick is the one, don't forget, who told on himself about ruining the game. Remember, with Joe.
Yeah, that's why I love him.
So it was like, so that's why I think Nick, and even Nick was like, now, Joe is obviously not faithful, but then what if he's really playing? So Nick may overthink things.
Yeah.
So I hope there's some twist, because at the moment it looks like there's no way Nick and Joe can lose it.
So is it all on David then, and who can flip David?
Whoever can convince David. And
David is intellectual, but he's not smart.
No.
Do you know what I mean? He doesn't have the chops. Kind of annoyed me.
We've spent the last, I don't know, 15, 20 minutes, whatever. We've spent the last time talking about all these different films and TV, and we talk traitors, and we have all lit up.
There is going to be such a hole in my life after this. That Celebrity Traitors, the finale.
When you see it in about 4 weeks.
Yeah.
When
I watch it on Instagram tomorrow. It's on tonight, BBC One at 9 p.m. Serena and David, that was great fun. Thank you so much.
The Hard Shoulder.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range. Celebrating 100 years of passion for the road. Recharge your soul.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2 times the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18-plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8-6-25 and 1-5-26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.